Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain. My name is Troika Saint Germain, and I'm so glad you're joining me tonight. This is my second show, and I want you to know that I do not write anything down before I go on the air. I barely know what topic I want to talk about. It's totally off the top of my head and from the bottom of my heart. And oh gosh, that sounds so corny. But anyway, it's true. So hopefully people will call in. I really want this show to be your show and a co-creation from the listeners and myself, and to be very interactive and for people to call in and ask about things. And, you know, the topics are about Ascended Master Saint Germain, anything you want to know about him. There's a lot of myths and there's a lot of legends and there's a lot of truth in those, but there are some misconceptions as well. So anything you're curious about, or his teachings or his suggestions for things, for how to ascend or how to transform or create or manifest, or he's a master at them all. And you know, and questions about the violet flame and how to use it are always a favorite subject of mine. And anything you want to know about ascension that I happen to know about, I'll be glad to share with you. I do not profess to know everything. I'm in this just like you guys, but I've been in it for quite a long time, since childhood, so I maybe have a little bit of an edge, but then again, not necessarily. I meet people that have just woken up a few years ago, and they know so much more than I do, and I think, God, I could have been wild and crazy and played a lot longer and caught up at the last minute like these people did. So anything about ascension and anything else that is of interest to you that, you know, we could dialogue about, healing and animals and their place in the scheme of things and frequency and vibrations and, oh, just all kinds of stuff. So call in, and if you are a person that has only one phone and cannot be on the internet and on the telephone at the same time, hang up and call, because you'll be able to listen to yourself on the archive shows later on. So hopefully you'll call in. In the meantime, I realize that probably most people haven't a clue who I am, and I'm right in there with you. My thoughts of who I am and what I am are constantly changing. It's a moment-by-moment thing. But I will tell you, I'll start out by giving you a little bit of my background. And again, it's totally unplanned, so I have a lot of different stories, and which ones are going to pop up at the moment will surprise all of us. I was born in Los Angeles, which I always like referring to as the City of the Angels, although technically it's named after the Queen of the Angels, so it's Mary's City, and Mother Mary. And I was born without the total set of veils of forgetfulness, meaning that I had a lot of remembrance of the other side and doing things that we as third-dimensional humans haven't quite gotten a handle on yet, and such as teletransporting and bilocating and just appearing and disappearing. And I was born way before Star Trek and Bewitched and a lot of these shows that a lot of people grew up with, seeing an example of it. In fact, when I was born, we didn't even have television. So, but I remembered being able to do those things. And my mom would get me all dressed up, and we were going to go visit somebody, and we were ready, and we had to pack a little picnic lunch because it took 2.5 hours to get from Los Angeles to Van Nuys, the San Fernando Valley, which now with the freeways, if there isn't a lot of traffic, is like a 20-minute ride. Used to take us 2.5 hours, and we'd go on dirt roads So we would pack a lunch to go visit our friends in the valley. And I, as a child, I'd be so annoyed. And I'd say, Mom, why do we have to spend all that time in the car and waste all that time? Why can't we just, you know, go there? And she would look at me and say, well, how are we going to get there? You know, we have to go in the car. And I'd go, no, let's just zap ourselves there. And she, you know, that was not a concept that she could even imagine, let alone go in. But I remembered that, just zapping yourself, you know, someplace, like Samantha on Bewitched, just kind of wiggling your nose and blinking your eyes a few times, and boom, you were right where you wanted to be. Or the more technical, Trekkie type of thing of going through the beam and dematerialize and rematerializing where you want to be. So I remembered things like that, and I also remembered that wherever I was from, and I really did not know where it was, I just knew it wasn't here, that people were a lot nicer to each other, and there was a lot more harmony and support and encouragement and a lot of more, you know, unconditional love is what I know it to be now. I didn't know what it was called when I was a kid, but I was just appalled at how people treated each other here. And again, if you can imagine how long ago it was that we didn't have television, people, it was a much nicer, gentle, kinder environment then compared to today. And I was still appalled. But I also had a lot of abilities that I would still love to have again. I used to be... Is that a caller? I'm hearing clicks, but I don't know what they mean. Hello, hello? I guess not. Okay. I used to be able to literally walk through a wall and go to the other side. And I was also able to... move toys around just by my thoughts and make them fly in the air and spin around. I had a wonderful time all by myself. and that's where I met Saint Germain when I was a little girl, and I would walk through the walls and go to the other side. I wasn't really sure consciously where I was going. I just knew that that was my home and that's where I really belonged, and not this crazy place with these people that said they were my parents that I had no relationship to at all. And or I thought, you know, it was like, these are not my parents, they're strange. And I know now later in life that where I was going to was the Ascended Realms, but I didn't know that at the time. It was just all my friends were there and my family was there. And Saint Germain was one of them. And he quite often would come back through the wall with me, and he was, for lack of a better term, my imaginary friend. At the time, I didn't know his name. I just knew he was my friend, and that I had a real close connection to this being. But as a child, you just usually don't say, well, who are you? What's your name? And I knew him by another name. It was he used to appear as a pixie, and he had a little pixie name and stuff. And so that's how I first met him, and in this incarnation. And then, at about 9 or 10 years old, that period of my life where I could go back and forth between the dimensions closed, and I was, for lack of a better term, third dimensionally landlocked. And I remember that day very vividly, and it was a horrible day in my life. And from my recollection, the very next day, I had no remembrance of doing any of that stuff. But for the rest of my life, until I reawakened in the early 80s, I always had a remembrance, a vague feeling that I used to do something special when I was a child. And it was right there in the back of my mind, like when you meet someone and you see their face and you know that you know them, but you can't remember their name, and you're trying to dig back into your memory banks for their name to come forward. It's right on the tip of your tongue, but you can't quite get it. That's how my experience was. It was like, what was that? What did I do? What was it? And I just couldn't quite grasp it until, you know, like I said, in the early 80s, when my memory opened and the veils kind of went back up again, and I had memory of my childhood. But even during the times when I was so-called asleep, for lack of a better term, from you know, age 10 to the early 80s, not my years of early 80s, but the 1980s, I still was on a spiritual quest. I was kind of unusual in that respect, that and my parents did not lead me into this. We were very traditionally non-religious. My mother was raised as a Catholic and went to parochial school and all of that, and didn't like it, and so she didn't force it upon me. And my father was, I don't know if he was agnostic or not. We really didn't talk about it, but his parents, who were, he was adopted, so the people that adopted him, they were in Christian Science. And my grandfather, who I never met, was, I know they don't call them ministers, practitioners or something, but anyway, he was the head of a Religious Science church, Mary Baker Eddy, form of Christian Science. And so my father, like a lot of children that are raised underneath strong teachings, kind of rebelled and wasn't into much of anything. So I got to do whatever I wanted religiously, and I just kind of went one by one through all the churches in the neighborhood, and I stayed with each one long enough to figure out what they were all about, and then I moved on to the next church. And after I exhausted all the churches that I could walk to or be easily driven to by my mother, and most of them were one form of Christianity or another, I reached out and extended my realm and got a little bit more exotic, and into Judaism and Mormonism and Baha'i and Vedanta and just anything. I was fascinated by religion, and I was fascinated by theories and what people believed in and what made people tick. And by the age of 13, I was studying astrology and tarot and hanging around the Theosophical Society with all the 90-year-old ladies and reading Blavatsky. But I was still a normal teenager at the same time. This whole religious and spiritual and seeking side of me, I kept very private. I did not discuss it with the kids at school. I just kind of had a sense not to do that, just like during the time period when I was walking through the walls and making my toys fly through the air. I had the sensibility not to ever mention it to my parents, and that's probably why it lasted so long. Lots of children come in with this ability, and the minute they start saying, oh, this is, we all remember Harvey, the invisible rabbit. When they start talking about their invisible friends or their interdimensional playmates and stuff, you know, one or two good, oh, darling, that's only your imagination statements from parents or grandparents is enough to totally shut that out and stop it from continuing. Fortunately, we have so many more enlightened people now that are bringing fabulous children into the world that encourage this, and they will not lock down. They will stay with that open connection to their divinity and to the higher realms. But anyway, I kept my mouth shut, so I got to play in those realms for a little bit longer. And where was I going with this? Oh, okay. So even during the time when seemingly I was disconnected or thought I was disconnected from the higher realms, I was still on a spiritual path of one form or another. And just, you know, on this quest of what's life all about? Why are we here? You know, all the questions that most people ask, and seeking outside the box. I started in the little inner circle of my neighborhood, which was just a typical suburban little part of Los Angeles, and circling out further and further and further and into UFOs and into seances and into just everything. And as I was studying all these different religions and looking at them abstractly, I never really joined any of them. I was more of an observer and a student rather than a faithful participant. I looked at what was the common ground in all of them, and I saw a thread that ran through every single one of them. And I figured, well, if every one of them has the same thing, then that must be the truth, because it's what is constant in all of these different beliefs and religions and life practices and philosophies. And it was easy then to see that everything else was either cultural or a human preference for things, or window dressing, you know. And so that truth, basically, is the golden rule, you know, that there's a higher source, there's a source that is higher than ourselves, that life is eternal and does go on, and that we are to be kind to each other and compassionate and treat each other as we wish to be treated ourselves. It was real simple. So that's kind of what I adopted as my lifelong philosophy. And all the rest was the exotic flavorings and the seasonings and the spices of life, which were really fun. And As I look back after being reawakened in the 80s, I can see that Saint Germain was still in my life all the time, similar to when I was a child, only I wasn't so conscious of it. I would see him from time to time in physical manifest. Only I didn't know his name. I didn't know it was him. He would appear differently physical features, different kinds of clothing, different age, you know. And at the time I would see him, it was perfectly normal. It was like there's this person, you know, a man. And sometimes we would talk. Sometimes I would just see him from a distance. But the thing that was different is that I never forgot those experiences. Some of them were like only 10 seconds long, but I remembered them vividly for my entire life. And I would find myself going back, you know, contemplating back or recalling it and going, God, that was unusual. Why do I remember that man so much? What was that all about? And these different experiences would happen throughout my life. And stay really with me. And then once I woke back up and came to know him in a more conscious way, then I looked back and went, my God, that was him. He was always there. He was always, you know, watching over me or just letting me know that he was there in a way or two. And the way I got reacquainted with him was quite fun. see, even though I had read Blavatsky and all, she refers to him as Master R. The Master R, which stands for Rakosi, one of his incarnations. And not the name Saint Germain. So I was at a bookstore. For those of you that live in the L.A. area, that bookstore still is there. I was at Alexandria 2 in Pasadena. And I was just going through the shelves and just kind of wandering around and just looking at whatever caught my fancy. And on the other aisle, the other side of the bookcase, these two women were talking. I could hear them talking. And one said the name Saint Germain. And as she said that, my whole body was like a, almost like a science fiction movie, you know. My whole body became really rigid and really riddled at attention. And it was almost like a, you know, turn and see. It became almost robotic, you know. It was like, who's Saint Germain? That name, just those two words, Saint Germain, just riveted through me. And I had to know, you know, about him. So I ran around the side of the bookcase and looked at these two women, and I said, who is Saint Germain? Tell me about Saint Germain. I need to know everything about Saint Germain. And I said it with, I guess, with such force and such intensity that it scared them. And they dropped the book and they ran out of the bookstore. And I thought, gee, that's strange, because in my mind, I'm just casually asking them. I didn't realize I was coming with such intensity. And so I dropped the book, and I bent down, and I picked up the book, and it was Unveiled Mysteries by Godfrey Ray King. And I, of course, bought the book and went home and just devoured it. And as I was reading that book, it was more than just reading a book. It was a whole opening and initiation and awakening to a very profound state, to where I would read a couple of sentences or a paragraph or two, and boom, I was kind of out of my body and experiencing that of which I just read, or experiencing an expansion of what I read. And I was becoming reacquainted with Saint Germain. And as I would have these kind of out of body, or at least out of third dimensional focus experiences, you know, he would be there. And we became reacquainted, and I realized that he was the one of my childhood, and the one that I had all these little brief encounters with throughout my life. And that's kind of how I got back into knowing Saint Germain, was through this book. And then from that point on, the awakening and the reacquaintance just went very quickly and very deeply. And before I knew it, you know, my whole life was dedicated to emulating him. I didn't realize that right away, that's what I was going to end up doing, is trying to emulate him, his life and the things that he had done. But he became, I don't want to use the word obsession, because that makes me sound like a stalker, and that wasn't the case. But my whole life, you know, I was in quest of what would really give my life meaning and what the meaning of life was. And his coming back into my life became that catalyst for me to learn more about the life and beyond the human experience and beyond the third dimensional experience. And so, you know, he became my teacher and my friend and eventually my partner, because as he put, he did put me through a few little tests, testing my ability to follow instructions and my ability to stay focused on a task that's kind of a otherworldly task sometimes, and you know, my sincerity. And I was like, it was like the ultimate Donald Trump apprentice type of thing, you know, the apprentice TV show lasts 13 weeks. This was, you know, more, this is like 13 years of an interview for an eventual service, you know, for him and through him. And that part started in 1992 was the first phase. But then in 2003 is when he started having me create his products for him. And that was kind of interesting and sort of a surprise. He revealed to me that he wanted me to create a cream, a face cream, that would have many different reasons for being and a lot of different functionality, physically and interdimensionally at the same time. And, you know, I agreed to do it. And then I started realizing and looking back that everything that I had done in my life previously, I've jumped around jobs a lot because I get bored real easy and I like to learn things. So something would strike my fancy and I want to learn that. I want to learn how to do that. And I would stay with it long enough to where I was competent at it and knew all that I needed to know and was successful at it or skilled at it. You know, I've been a florist and a makeup artist and a interior designer and a graphic designer and a, you know, on and on and on. I've had probably about 30 professions and a lot of them overlapping. So, you know, it was always fun for me to learn something new. And when I look back as I was doing this cream, I realized that everything that I had done in my life was training and preparation for this, for these creations, including all the alternative healing and medicine and herbology and homeopathy and Chinese medicine and energy work and everything that I had not done as a profession but had studied and had used to heal myself and friends, and that was all kind of wrapped into one big package that led to this creation. So that's how I started creating these products for him. And the first year we brought out the cream. It's called Transform Essence. And the purpose of it is to not only make people look very good and to create a youthing sensation with their skin. People do look much, much younger after using it, and it does all these wonderful things to the third dimensional skin. But at the same time, it has all these metaphysical properties built into it, mainly through a blend of 16 essential oils. They were all selected for their vibration and their frequency and their ability to raise a person's vibration and frequency into a higher state of consciousness and being, but also for what they do to the skin. So it's a third-dimensional, fifth-dimensional balance, you know, on these oils. And then there's gem elixirs that are in there, and a lot of energy transmission, and, you know, it's just not your ordinary Estee Lauder cream or something that you would buy at Macy's. And the reason for it is that he was feeling that, you know, we want to get ascension going. We want to get the planet, you know, moving along and get into the golden age and the higher, the ascension of the planet and all of us that can go with it. So this was sort of a creation to help those that were a little resistant to maybe learning about spiritual things, and to help them open up and raise their frequency without them necessarily knowing about it. Because that can be, these, the cream and the essential oils and the gem elixirs work whether someone is aware of it or not. If you're aware of it and you use it consciously, you get more benefit from it because you're a participant and it's your intention and your desire. But, you know, there's an awful lot of baby boomers out there that just want to look great. And so they can look great and get, you know, a lift at the same time. So when I was doing the market testing, I purposely selected demographics of people that would be the least likely to be spiritually or metaphysically inclined or to know about ascension and ascended masters and vibration and frequency and all. I chose the Bible Belt and kind of a real traditional, you know, Southern Baptist type of area, and people didn't know anything about the cream. They just received a sample of it and said, we're told to use it and just to jot down anything that they observed. You know, and it didn't necessarily, it was, you know, it was presented as a face cream. You know, just what do you feel from it? What's happening? What are your experiences? And I expected people to, we didn't give them a questionnaire to fill out, because sometimes that can lead a person to answer something a certain way or to talk about a subject matter that they probably wouldn't. A lot of cosmetic companies do that. They write out the questionnaires or the sampling reports, leading a person to say certain things so they can then use that in their advertising and, you know, kind of put a little spin on it and kind of control what they're getting. I didn't have that kind of agenda. I wanted to honestly know what people were experiencing, and I did not want to put any words into anyone's mouth. So it was basically an essay question rather than a yes or no or multiple choice. It was just, what's your experience with this cream? And I was amazed at the answers that I got back. I was expecting people to say, oh, my skin feels really great, or that age spot is gone, or I noticed that my eyes aren't as wrinkled, or things like that. But instead, they were talking about the spiritual aspect of it. They were saying things, and this one woman, I remember this so well because I thought it was such a strange thing to say about a cream. She said, whenever I open the jar, my heart sings. I thought, wow, that's really amazing. And she said, I feel so good when I use this cream, and it's just, you know, and there was people like that saying things like that over and over again about how it was uplifting their spirits and they felt so good and they loved the scent, and it was like a personal anointing and all of these things that I certainly didn't expect. And then at the end of their little writing of how they felt about the cream, they go, oh, by the way, my skin looks really great, and that age spot is gone. So I knew that from all of that, I knew that the intention of lifting people's spirits and opening up their heart chakras and their crown chakras and giving them a boost of a higher vibrational, lighter feeling was really true with this cream because of these unsolicited, you know, essays. And then Saint Germain explained to me further on that besides opening up people and lifting them, that another reason for this cream and another reason why he was anxious to help people look younger and feel younger is because that's a key to ascension and to who we really are and what we really can be. And for those of you that know about Ascended Master Saint Germain, in his last known incarnation, he lived in the same body for over 300 years and did not age past the physical appearance of between 40 and 45, depending on whose opinion it was. But he stayed, you know, well preserved and looking, holding on to a certain age and a certain quality of energy, and, you know, like the prime of a person's life is where he reached and then stayed for 300 years. So, and in the Bible, and then believe me, I'm not really a Bible person, but there is some truth in it. We hear about people that live to be 600 years old, 900 years old. And this is a possibility for us. It's not that extraordinary. It can be done if people want to do it. The thing that we're dealing with, there's a strange noise on, I'm hearing the static. I hope you're not hearing it too. But anyway, longevity and rejuvenation, and what is now a new word has been made up, you know, youthing. These are all very possible and within our realm and totally obtainable. The biggest problem of achieving it is the collective consciousness. Even though we are, even though we create our own reality to a large extent, we are living in a society or in a collective consciousness where, yes, we are creator gods. Yes, we do create our own environment and our own life and our own conditions, but so do the other however many billions of people that are sharing this time and space with us. So, another great cliche, you know, no man is an island, is very true in that respect. We can have the thought that I'm going to live forever and look fabulous and never age and stay in perfect health and all, but that's one vote for the collective consciousness, and the rest of the collective consciousness, or the majority of them, have a very locked-in, strong thought form that 20 looks like this, 30 looks like that, 40 you look like this, then at 50, you know, this happens to your body, and you look like that, and then there's 60, and 70, and 80, and then you're dead. And this is an erroneous lie. It's not the truth at all. We don't have to do that. It's not what we're meant to do. But the collective consciousness has bought into that, and it has become so solidified in the planet Earth in this time and space that we have to break that thought form. We have to loosen it up and break it down to be able to achieve immortality and the next step, you know, the return to the Garden of Eden and living in perfect health and perfect vitality and youth and all of that great stuff and not aging. So this cream also is a tool for that, because as you start looking younger and your friends look at you and start accusing you of having a facelift and you swear up and down, no, you know, I never did, you know, you never saw me with bandages on my face. You never saw me disappear for 3 months to, you know, heal and for all the black and blue marks and the scars to go and the stitches to go away. You know, of course I didn't have a facelift. It starts, first of all, it starts with yourself. You start going, wow, I am looking younger, and wow, this is amazing, and well, maybe I really can do this, because we have that same collective consciousness is running through us. We have to overcome our own conditioning and our own thoughts about it. And you know, that's the first step. And then your friends see and your neighbors see, and they start thinking, well, gee, you know, she looks really great, or he looks marvelous, or gosh, you know, their face has changed so much. Maybe I'll try that, and I'll see if that does that for me. And like one by one, the domino effect starts happening, and people then get it that, gee, we don't have to get old. We don't have to look a certain way because we're at a certain age. We don't have to, you know, continue to become decrepit as time goes on. And wow, maybe we don't have to die. And so that's one way that we can ascend faster and to have the kind of immortality that many people talk about. And at the same time, just because immortality is available, not everybody wants to stay in the same body for 500 or 600 or 700 years. But you would have the choice. You would have the choice to remain in a body as long as you wanted, or to shed that particular physical form and maybe get another one, or stay formless for a while. But you would have the option. Right now, we don't think that we have the option. So that's part of the reason for the cream. And it's a fabulous cream. And you can find it on my website, which is ascensionstgermain.com, and purchase it. And it's unusual that they're in the respect of current cosmetics. It's highly concentrated. There's just enough water in it to kind of hold it together, but not, you know, when you see the cream, it's different. You can hold the jar upside down for hours and it doesn't fall out. It's got a thicker consistency to it because of the concentration. It's totally non-toxic. It does not have things that most products have, like propylene glycol and Lorp7 and so many of the toxic things. It's nutrition for your face. It has all the vitamins and minerals and amino acids and supplements and nutrients that your skin needs to put itself into a perfect state of health. And when the skin is in a perfect state of health, it heals itself. And what we call age is not a condition that happens. It's a condition of imbalance and lack of nutrients to the skin. That's why the face ages, not because of numbers, you know, on a calendar somewhere. And that was another secret that Saint Germain shared with me. He said, if you want to rejuvenate and you want to change the way your body looks and you want to reverse your body's appearance in time, just stop putting a number on your body. Stop telling people how old you are, and stop telling yourself how old you are. Because again, there's that collective consciousness. You might feel that age is only a number and has no bearing on it, but the minute that you don't know the thought forms of the person that you are admitting your age to. And because we are all part of the whole, and we are all part of the collective consciousness, and we are all of one spirit, what another person thinks about you has an effect on you. It has, you know, the little thin spider webs that connect all of us all resonate. So if you're telling, if 100 people know that you're, say, 50 years old, and 50 to you, I mean, they say that 50 is the new 30, which is kind of cute. See, it is starting to infiltrate into society when you hear things like that. Oh, well, 50 is the new 30, and that's only because all the baby boomers, you know, when they hit 30, they thought, I mean, 50, they thought, well, 50 is chic now because we're 50, so, you know, and the baby boomers still rule because there's there's more of them, and they've got all the buying power, and they kind of are the trendsetters of current society. So anyway, if you tell 100 people that you're 50, those 100 people are all going to have a different concept of their idea of 50. And some people will think that you're really, really old, and that you should look a certain way, and that you should be by now taking 12 prescription medicines and walking with a cane and hobbling along and, you know, definitely on the downslide of life. And then there's others that, hey, 50, you're still a kid, you know. So, but you've got all these different conflicting ideas and concepts from people that do have an effect on you. So if you never tell anybody your age, then they can think to themselves, wow, that's a really youthful person, or gee, I wonder how old they are. They're ageless. I can't, you know, there's no lock on you. There's no thought form holding you to a certain concept of someone. So I stopped telling people how old I was. And it's really an interesting, it's an interesting experience, because especially with my association with Saint Germain and telling people that, you know, my goal in life is to emulate him, I have some people that probably think I'm over 100 years old, and then I have other people that think I'm maybe 30 years old, and I'm neither one of those. I'm somewhere in between, and that's about as specific as I get. And you know, and it's very fun to play around with not being an age. So that is something, whether you try the cream or not, that's a wonderful little secret about getting those thoughts of the collective consciousness off of you and liberating yourself from the collective consciousness. And if you can share that with people and get them liberated from the collective consciousness, or anytime you want to do something, be careful of who you reveal what you want to do, because for every person that wants you to succeed, there's another person that consciously wants you to fail. It's just the reality of the duality that we live in at this time. So be aware of how the collective consciousness can affect you, and don't label things. Don't put a name on them, because then people's like, if you're going through a health challenge, and medical science has a name for what you're going through, there's again the collective consciousness that certain ailments in the collective consciousness's mind is a death sentence, or is a lifelong disability, or is you know, something very detrimental in their mind. And even though they go, oh gee, I'm so sorry, and oh, best of luck and all that, at the same time silently they're going, well, they're toast. You know, you don't want people thinking that about you and having those thoughts. So, you know, be conscious of how you're revealing yourself in respect to the collective consciousness. Get the collective consciousness to work for you and not against you. And that will get you where you want to go that much faster. And why isn't anybody calling in? It's been 49 minutes I've been babbling here. I want someone to call. Because I want to know what people want to know about. So, next time call. I'm going to be having guests soon. Oh, and you know, and if you're shy about calling and being on the radio and having, you know, people listen to you, please email me your questions. My email is on the website. It's inquiry@ascensionstgermain.com. And just say, you know, on your radio show, please answer, blah, 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 blah. And I won't, you know, I won't say, oh, so-and-so from so from such-and-such a place, you know, asked this, you'll have privacy and anonymity if you want, you know. Maybe a first name would be nice, but if you have a very unusual name like mine and there's only one of you in the universe, you know, I won't use your name unless you say you can use my name. But I would like to know what people want to know, and I have a bajillion stories and things to say, and I just don't know where to jump in. But if you give me even just like a couple of words like Egypt, I can tell you all kinds of things about Egypt, or Atlantis, I can tell you all kinds of things about Atlantis, or, you know, but I want to know what people want to hear about and what they want to know. So, let's see, I've got 9 more minutes. I know, oh wait, because my timer says I only have 5 minutes. That's right, there's only 55 minutes to a radio hour. So, what I would like to propose to everyone is if they would like to try Transformescence or any of the other products, because the following year we came out with Time Warp, which is a serum that is a healthy, extremely healthy, nourishing alternative to Botox. And then we came out with vibrational sprays called Transcense, that there are six vibrations to them, and they are something that you spray around yourself, made of essential oils and gem elixirs, that will raise your frequency and your vibration to match a certain feeling. There's one for Saint Germain, it's his frequency. There's one for the violet flame that we just call flame. There's one called violet star, which is the feminine polarity of Saint Germain, and it's also the vibration of the violet planet, which is the home for many of us that resonate with the seventh ray and root race. And there's the I Am Presence, and there's alchemy. Ooh, that's a fun one. That's for manifesting your dreams, and the spiritual alchemy of turning lead into gold. And what's the other one? Ascension. Duh. And of course, they're, you know, they're temporary. But you'll feel it. You'll feel the shift. And sometimes I spray myself with them before I go to bed. I always spray myself with them when I'm doing a reading or a session with somebody. And they're like little training tools to get us used to what those vibrations feel like. So they're kind of like a sampler. You know, this is how you should feel, or this is how that experience feels. And they're great to use when you're going into meditation, you know, to help you get into that higher feeling quicker, and to, you know, clean up rooms from negative energy. Or a lot of body workers use them, and they especially flame, and they spray the room after a client leaves to really clear out the energy, so that the next person coming in comes in fresh and without any residue of the sessions from before. And those are on the website. And then there's the Elixir of Life, the mysterious elixir that Saint Germain drank for all the time that he was in body for 300 years. Many people, and I was one of them, assume or are told that that elixir is what kept him young. And to a certain extent it is, but it's not the total reason. Total reason is because he was already ascended when he was in that body. But what the elixir does, and it's not the original herbal concoction that he drank, but I make the herbal concoction, and then I turn it into a vibrational essence, in similar to the way that box flowers are made, the box flower remedies are made, because that way you just can have a little bottle. You don't have to carry around gallons of this quite honestly vile tasting tea. And there's no there's no allergy issues, and it's the vibration of it, and it has many, many profound effects on people, and so that's available on the website as well. And the prices are posted there, but if you send me an email that you are a BBC listener and that you heard this show, I will send you a special link that will give you a 10% discount to purchase anything that you want in as many and any quantity that you want. So that would be something that I would really love to do to make it easier to introduce these products to you and to get you experiencing the wonderful benefits from it and the spiritual growth that comes along with it. They're quite magical. They seem to adapt to the specific needs and of every person that uses it. So everyone has their own unique experiences from it. And it seems my little beeper went off. That means I'm out of time. So I hope that you will listen again next week and that you will call in with your questions or comments, or that you will email me with your questions and comments, and that you will make it a decision to at least be curious enough to go to the website and read more about these creations of Saint Germain that I've brought through, and try them. And until then, until next week, I wish you all a wonderful, fabulous, magical week, and violet blessings to you all. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.